Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, Abundant Life Center. God is good to us. Father, we thank you for your word that you're ready and able to feel. Your house is full of food, Father God, spiritual food to enlighten us, to feed us, to charge us up, to build us up, to teach us right ways and right paths. So we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you're going to enlighten. You're going to open doors, Father. You're going to pull back the curtains and windows will be open so we can see very clearly your nature, your power, your thoughts, your words. We'll see them very clearly and we will understand what you're doing, what your hand upon our lives. We'll see what you're doing, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we decided to move to 1 Timothy, and I don't really have a really roadmap or method to the madness of this, you know, if you will. Somehow that seems to be a modern thought. What is the methodology to studying the scriptures? Well, my eyes were somewhat open a few years ago to this narrative thought, what I call narrative thought. And it opened up to me when I was in the book of Acts. I started seeing who's the characters and how do they fit in, how's this puzzle fit together and how do these things. So my eyes began to open up to these things. And of course, that's not doctrine. None of that is doctrine. It's clarity. It's understanding. It's being able to see into the history of what God was doing. We look at the Old Testament and you're only living in that history and trying to understand what did God do here, why did God do it, and what did God do here and why did God do it. If you remember from your Bible students, if you remember from the book of Genesis, two angels, two men, why did Abraham look at the men and think something differently about them? They were different. I don't know. Did they have big wings? No, they didn't. You know, they were men. They came up to him and he treated them and invited them in. Oh, can I make you something to eat? Can I give you something to drink? And they conversed with one another in the scripture, and the history of it is they said, shouldn't we tell Abraham what we're doing? See, they were on an order. They had an order and an assignment given to them by God. They weren't those that were living upon the earth. They took a bodily form so that men would know who they are. Because I don't know who you are. I have to find a way, since Abraham is not a deeply spiritual person, moving in a gift of discernment of spirits and being able to physically see into that realm, that spiritual realm. You know, you've heard of people seeing angels, right? Well, this is not so much that case, but they were spiritual beings and they came down for a purpose. Why? Why did those two men come down? They wanted to fact find as if God didn't know. They wanted to show the angels what is the screams and the cries that were coming out from Sodom and Gomorrah. Screams and cries of sin and immorality. Is this really true? Well, these two angels are going to prove it. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every fact be established. God does not break his rules. He doesn't. He's consistent. God is consistent about what he does and where he does it. So here we have this man, Timothy. We're introduced to him. We don't even know Timothy. We're just clicking along. As a matter of fact, as we said before, we don't even know Luke. Who's Luke? Who's Timothy? We finally get to chapter 16, and we're introduced to them. Timothy first. I'm not going to go back and read it, because when we did the book of Romans, we went to the book of Acts. When we went to the book of Galatians, we went to the book of Acts, and it's the same material. When we went to Thessalonians, we went to the book of Acts. This is the same material. It's the same historical references that we're talking about. Chapter 16, that's where, see, Paul's walking through life in the Spirit, doing the will of God. And just like you, he's changing. He's wanting clarity. He's praying. He's wanting understanding of what his assignment is. What should I do? I'm stuck here. Lord, the Holy Spirit came to me and said not to go to Asia. Well, where am I supposed to go? God's trying to get it to you. He's trying to get to us what to do and where to go. He's trying to bring clarity to our thoughts so that we connect with him, so that we, the next step isn't off the cliff, it's in the will of God. This is the clarity that's coming. Clarity has been coming to this church. What's our next step? What are we going to do, right? This is what we have to have. Eat, all of us. This is personal. This is personal. Who should I be with? This is a thing all through the Old Testament and New Testament. Who should I be with? Where should I be? If you don't settle those things, you're always unsettled. It's not good to be unsettled. It's better to be settled. Well, speaking of that, this is the time we're coming into with the Apostle Paul. We've already saw that in Thessalonians. We will see that in Romans later when he writes that. We'll see that in Galatians when he writes that. But here's Timothy. We are introduced to him in chapter 16. And here's Timothy with Paul. That had to be a strange experience. You know, he didn't want to bring John Mark with him just a minute before we're introduced to Timothy. At the end of chapter 15, him and Barnabas had a little tiff about that. Young John Mark. He said, we're not taking him. How did that conversation go down? We do not know. All right, we do not know. But it could have went down. When you're talking to a zealot, you know, they're very stubborn-minded and bold about what they're going to do. I'm just saying, if you've never run into that guy, you might someday. Right? You think the people back here are any different than you are, or I am? You run into these guys. So him and Barnabas have a tiff. Oh, I'm not taking John Mark. I already took him the first time, and you see what happened. We don't know why or what, but we know that he left. He left them. Maybe he had a bellyache. I don't know. Maybe he had dysentery, and he couldn't take it anymore. Maybe he was nervous, and he wasn't keeping his life in faith. We don't know. It's all speculations, okay? So what was it about Timothy? What was it about him that Paul saw something different in him? And that's all Paul could do is ask him, do you want to go along? Yes or no? That's all Paul could do. He saw a young man named Timothy, Acts chapter 16. And it was in Derbe. He was living, a resident in Derbe, Lystra. He was in those towns, and Timothy lived there. We have to go back to Acts 16 to read it. But I'm just making a point. This is a real kid, young man, in a real town. Paul and Silas were on mission. They were moving in the will of God. What did he see in this man? Something was there. He got to know this family. We're talking pretty boldly about relationships right now. In our church, Pastor Dan has been one of the titles of the message. Just recently, a week or two ago, had to do with church and relationships. Relationships are important, who you connect with. If you don't think it's important, every time you read storylines in the Old Testament, you're going to see relationships. You're going to see good ones, Paul, and you're going to see bad ones. And the bad ones get you in trouble. So best learn your lessons from people in the Old Testament who made lessons. Connections you make, it's really horrible. This week I even sent a message to somebody recently, and I wrote a paper about an example. It had to do with Timothy, but it was an example of a king having, of the southern kingdom, Abijah, I think his name was. Anyway, I would go back and look, but I'm just talking about what happens when you have bad relationships. He leaves his domain, he leaves his kingdom, and he goes and he has a little parlay with the northern kingdom. Well, that guy was in trouble. He was being chased by Jehu. And what happened was, he was killed. Jehu executed judgment according to the prophetic word. here's this guy, Abijah, the king. He just happened to be with him. It was just happened to be with him. Make an alliance with this king. I'll help you. And Jehu comes in and judges and kills them both. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong people. That's what can happen if you get in the way of the judgment of God. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong. God wasn't even aiming at him. But Jehu was executing judgment for God, fulfilling the prophetic word. It matters who you're with, and it matters where you go in the will of God. This is just learn lessons from these examples in these stories. We're supposed to learn these lessons. So here's Timothy. He goes on the mission trip. You look at all his faithfulness, his travelings with Paul. Paul sends him here and sends him there. He's teaching him. He's training him. One of the armadas we had quite a few years ago was about finding a Timothy. I was fortunate enough to find one for a while. Stuck with me for a while. Now, not so much. But that's my story. It's not a complete story. I don't think I need to explain it all. I'm just simply saying, training them in the word. Training him in the will of God, in what God wants to do. He wants to use you in your life. Paul's training Timothy. He's picking everything up that Paul's throwing down. He's grabbing it all. He wants to learn about what did Christ do on the cross. Paul explains this in all his writings. Paul begins a campaign to start writing letters. Remember, he's got that letter in his pocket. In his second missionary journey, he's seeing how much they're encouraged when he reads about the apostles, Peter, James, and John, all the apostles, the apostolic council, the elders of Jerusalem are fully supporting Paul's ministry and encouraging the people. And he gives them a standard to live by, forsaking idols, staying away from immorality. You know, these the things sacrificed to blood. This was the current things that they were dealing with in this day. Paul was addressing them. Hold fast to the things that were taught by the apostles and the prophets. What the prophets say. Hold fast to them. There's prophetic words that you can cling to that are yours. Peter says, these are great and precious promises. And by them, we have our victory. So here's this Timothy. He sees something in him. He's traveling with him. Tick tock, tick tock. If you stay close, if you want to learn something, you can go through school and hardly learn a thing. But if you pay attention, you can go to Bible school and not learn very much. You'll memorize some scriptures and you'll have your diploma. They'll give it to you. They'll lay hands on you. And what did you learn? Enough maybe to go out and start a bunch of problems. Because now you have a diploma and everybody should respect you, but you didn't earn a thing. I don't know. I'm just saying, how does this work? Timothy was not that guy. Timothy cleaved to everything and he was faithful and loyal. Let's look at him. Paul, an apostle, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. See, God did it. God did it for him. He was anointed. He was called. Paul was secure in what he was and who he was. He was an apostle of God by the commandment of God. Of Jesus Christ, who is our hope? Right away he's talking about this great hope that we have. It's in Jesus Christ. Here's Timothy. Already heard that 10,000 times from Paul, right? Timothy, my true child in the faith. He was affirming him. Timothy was in one place, and we'll find out in a minute. Paul was in another place. He receives one of the letters, a personal letter. It's not a letter to the churches. It's personal. Get that in your head. It's personal. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, we have to go back to the book of Acts, and we have to see Paul's movements. But I'm not trying to prove that to you. He says it. So you believe it or you don't. Paul's getting ready to travel. He writes Timothy a letter because he wants to give him direction. Why did I leave you there? What is this about? Remain on at Ephesus. So where's Timothy? Come on. He's in Ephesus. What's he doing there? Paul sent him there, or he was traveling with Paul and Paul moved on. Okay? Remain at Ephesus so that you might instruct certain men. What was the time that they were living in? They were living in a time when men were rising up thinking that they knew something about something. They might have had a diploma. They might have went to Judaism school. They might have graduated. They might know what they think they know, but they have no affirmation from the Word of God about the things that they think that they know is true. Is it the true gospel of Jesus Christ? But they think it is. Remain on an app. Instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. I'm not surprised he puts that word strange in there, because when Aaron's sons were mixing spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, if you don't mind, strange fires to the Lord judged them, and fire came down and consumed them. I'm not surprised he used that word, because he's eloquent in spiritual thought. Strange doctrines, nor pay attention to myths. Myths are handed down from Greek mythology. You know, the Greeks, who were very strong earlier, a couple hundred years ago, the things that the Romans had, honestly, keep going back. What did the Persians carry? What did the Greeks carry? What did these Babylonians carry? Keep going back in time and history. That stuff did not go away. The devil finds a way to distract humanity. In the Old Testament, he was distracting humanity with these many gods. We still have that today. In the Sri Lanka, these different places. That's not the only places. It's just the places we're connected to. They, you know, Brother Allen's going to battle with those things. Dale battles with these things in places that he goes. Brother Bill talked about these things, thousands of gods they have. Brother Dan talked about these things when he was there. If you don't teach the right Jesus, the only God, the only salvation that you have, the only door, teach the gospel correctly, right? He's the only way, the only way. His blood alone cleanses us from sin. They'll just add Jesus to their stack. But he's the only way. Forget your stack. He's the only way. Here's this. Keep going. Don't pay attention to strange doctrines. Pay attention to myths. Endless genealogies. That's definitely coming from the Judaites. Genealogies makes you what you are. Doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. Jew, Greek, sinner, harlot. Doesn't matter. Female, male. Slave, free, doesn't matter. Jesus heals them all. Jesus saves them all. Get your doctrine right. Why would you do that? Let's keep reading. Which gives rise to mere speculations. The more you think about these other, or keep them in the equation. If I'm going to keep this idolatry in the equation, these myths, these speculations, if I'm going to keep that in my equation, they will bring speculations rather than furthering. Here's an interesting phrase. Moving forward, furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Administrations. Last week, you know, Sister Donna was standing here. We prayed for her. She's become the executor, administrative, right? Say it. Executive pastor. An executive administrates. This is that Greek word. It's about that long. So Randy's not going to be foolish enough to say, I can get this right on the first try. It's a huge Greek word that has to do with you being the master in charge of ordering the thing that you're put in charge of. Well, that's kind of what Sister Donna's been doing for 40 years here. You know, it's not a big surprise, but you're in the administration of God. You orchestrate what's being done. You're like the conductor of the orchestration, and you're making things happen. Sister Donna's been good at that, and she'll continue to grow and get better at it. Thank God. look at the phrase again. They give rise to speculations rather than, in other words, it's a different path. This is a different path that you're on. If you're going to pay attention to these kinds of things in regards to clarity of who Jesus Christ is, you, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. I had this blow up in my spirit when I was in Nigeria with Pastor Bill in 1992, first time I was there. Ema had called an all-night prayer meeting, and we were, guess what an all-night prayer meeting is, Paul? It's all night. It's not okay, it's 11 o'clock, it's time to go home. No, it's all night. Out of respect, I think Ema told them to take the guests home, us, at 2 or 3 in the morning, just out of respect. But believe me, the rest of them stayed. Because it was an all-night prayer meeting, and that's the kind of authority that he wields in the Spirit. That's the kind of confidence that his peoples have in him, that this is the right thing to do. It was a special time for them. They had guests from the United States with them. We wanted to see the Spirit of God move. Later, we had a pastor's meeting. He'd bring the pastors in. Pastor Bill was teaching this pastor's meeting, leadership and integrity. This popped up in my spirit in such a big way that I've never really, it's always been there. Surely, it's always been there. But sometimes that thing that's always been there just jumps out and slaps you. And so you understand, when you're trying to accomplish something in life and in whatever you do, you know, there has to be goals. I always loved that about Brother Jared. He would set goals in his life, and he would say, I'm going to learn to play the piano, or I'm going to learn to play the bass, or whatever. You know, I'm going to learn to do this, and I'm going to learn to do that. All of us should kind of be that way. And I was sharing with people at work, that's what makes an employee a valued employee. I'm going to give you this task. Do it to the best of your ability. Learn the process of how to make it work and be that guy. And then they pick you up and move you. But anyway, this is the case with it. Watch what happens. The goal of our instruction, this was Paul's lifeline. Get a hold of this. Paul had a goal. Every church that he was in, every single one, every purpose for him writing letters, this was his goal. He's telling Timothy, he didn't say it this way, but if Timothy is the good student that I think he is, Timothy is hearing it this way. This is what I need to learn this. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. He says this in all his letters. Love one another. Love from a pure heart, not a deceitful heart, a pure heart. There's three things here. And a good conscience, he will write about this in most of his letters. A good conscience towards God. When he stood up and made his defense, he said, O King, I have a good conscience that what I've been doing has been according to the Spirit of God. That's not an exact quote. Three things: a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere or unfeigned, some say, King James, I believe, unfeigned faith, a pure faith, an undefiled faith, a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is faith? You can't stop teaching faith. You can't say, oh, the faith message is all corrupted. It's not. There is a faith message that comes into you that causes salvation. What? That corrupted message of faith that you heard, do you think that's the message that Jesus Christ saves you? And if you believe that, you will be saved. But, there's no but. Do you believe him or no? Do you believe in him or no? This is what settles your heart. This is why you're, this is what I've termed, and it, I coined it, I read it in a book, Alan. Know-so salvation. I read that. That never left me. I read that in a book, so I stole it. It's now part of me. Know-so salvation. I had someone say that to me when I wasn't sure I was saved. I was saved. I just didn't know. I mean, I know, but I don't know. Even my faith is being built up that I have my complete confidence is in it now. But in the early days, it didn't hit me like it does some people with great joy. It's just like, it was like a mental reality that I was like, yeah, he died for my sins. I come to understand that. I'm not saying any of that's right. It's just my personal testimony, you see. You can know, absolutely know so salvation. The blood of Christ was shed for you. And you know. Well, what if I do something wrong? Well, I thought you knew. There's forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins if you confess your sins with your mouth. He's faithful. And so here comes faith again. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. This is what the administration of God is. It's by faith. It's the instruction is in love. It's a pure heart. It's a good conscience. It's a sincere faith. For some men, Paul is a personal letter to Timothy. Some men straying from these things, which things? We've just been beating them. What are the things that you're straying from, right? Have turned aside to fruitless discussion. There's not a whole lot to talk about, really. Love, right? That's what it's saying. The administration of God. Love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. If you stray from those things, do I wonder what's going to happen? I don't wonder what's going to happen. Let's keep going. Having turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. He spends the book of Galatians on this topic. He spends the book of Romans on this topic. And he mentions it multiple times throughout his letters, even in the book of Hebrews. How does the law of God affect our life anymore? One thing I can say for sure, it was never intended. I mean, I could say a lot of things about it, but I can say without any hesitation, without any threat of false doctrine, the law was never given to save man. Never. That's not false teaching. That's not false doctrine. But the law is good, and the law is holy. And when you're obedient to the law, there's a blessing in it. You've done, and you have been, obedience is released in your life because you walk in the law of God. You walk in the ways of God. When God reveals his ways, you walk in them. To me, you're supposed to. But that's not my salvation. But they make confident assertions that they know what this matter is all about. Let's go farther. Paul's given Timothy instructions on how to lead the church and bring growth to the church. If you're going to bring growth to the church, it's through the love of God. It's through a good conscience, understanding that your conscience has been cleansed. Or else you'll always wonder and never have no so salvation. People will always come and say, well, you did this and you did that. And you'll always be unsettled. It's not good to be unsettled. I don't know if anybody's ever, Alan says, yeah, that's true. It's not good to be unsettled. That's not God's administration, is to leave you unsettled. You can know. And that's, he's telling them, teach the church this. Tell them, stop teaching that. It's not the will of God. But we know that the law is good. Verse 8. If one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for the righteous person. But if you're a righteous person, you walk in law. You just do. Because you're righteous, you walk in the ways of God. And he's pleased with that. But it's not your salvation. It's just who you are now. And you'll grow more in that, right? This is what he's saying here. But for those who are lawless, that's what the law is for. For the rebellious, for the ungodly, and sinners, for the unholy. How can God judge these things for what they are? How can he be the judge if he didn't tell you what's wrong? He can't be the judge then. But he can, because he made the law for them, for the world. And we were lawbreakers. For the profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers. That was a thing back then for whatever reason, whatever motivation. She would kill your mother and father. Oh, they take too much air up in the house. They're eating our food. Let's get rid of them. This was a thing. I'm sorry. This was primitive times. This was human natural thought. You know, men and women would sell off their children. This was a thing. We think it's primitive. Alan said it happens today. In places he's been, he's heard stories like this. Well, I need some money to pay the rent. Here, take Debbie. Just saying. Oh, wow, I can pay 2 months for this. Anyway, but this is what people do. A carnal-minded people, they think. This is the way they think. They don't think godly think. For immoral men, homosexuals, kidnappers, you know, you can't arrest God for being a hater. He's not a hater. He loves humanity. He does not love sin. He loves humanity. And if people are trapped by those notions and those speculations of everything that we're saying here, immorality, homosexuality, you're trapped in a process, in a thinking. You're trapped. You're captured. You're imprisoned to that thought process, that philosophy. Well, God wants to help you. He wants to lift you out of that mire, just like he lifted me out of my prison, the things that were holding me back. All church people are hypocrites. They go to church and they live one way, and they bring their mask to church. See, that was my prison. That's what kept me out of making a decision to step forward in Christ, because I don't want to be a hypocrite like them. So then he challenged me. Well, why don't you show them how to do it then? You know, become a Christian. Believe in me. These challenges are going on in my head. I'm not trying to justify anything here. These challenges, I saved you. I love you. Come home. He's bringing me home. See, and I saw it. I saw his great loving kindness. And we're going to see about Paul's life. We're going to see how he was, what he was doing. Zealous for the law. Let me keep moving here. Kidnappers, liars, perjurers, whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. This is all according to God. God is doing this. He has done this. With which I have been entrusted. You've been entrusted with things. The enlightenment that he's given you, that's a sacred trust. And you can give it to others. That's what we have. He's given this to you. It's a gift from him. You didn't figure it out yourself. He gave it to you. Verse 12. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful. Faithfulness is a stepping stone to strength. You be faithful in the Lord, and he'll continue to strengthen you to do his work. This is just a side note. Putting me into service. Oh, the Lord doesn't use me for anything. Faithfulness. Think about that. He can, he will. He wants to. More than you want to. He wants to use you and put you into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer. We can go back to Acts 7, figure out what that's all about. The end of chapter 7 in the book of Acts. And we could start looking at Paul's story. We've already covered some of that stuff in the past. Paul was, he was a sly one. He was very sly about the way he did things. And he was a blasphemer. And he was a legalistic-minded, black and white sort of kind of character. You know, it's all God or nothing. And he thought he had all God in everything he was doing. And he was all wrong. But he didn't know he was wrong. You know, we never know that. We're not wrong until we're proven wrong. You got to prove it to me. This is what humanity is all about. You got to prove it to me. Okay. God did. And we see what happened to Paul's life. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, and that is what Paul was, yet I was shown mercy, thank God, right? For me, for you, because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And many of the people that you encounter throughout your day, throughout your week, they're just ignorant. I don't mean that as a slang word that was, you know, that we've said since we were young. You're ignorant. You know, we say that like, don't we allowed to say that in church? Huh? No, you're ignorant. You know, this is, we use it as a slang, as a throw to minimize the person that we're arguing with. You're just ignorant. Well, Paul wasn't using it that way. See, you don't have the knowledge you need. You don't even know what you know. I was trying to dip my toe into a little bit of technology this week, and I just sunk so fast. Whoosh! It was like flushing a toilet. My brain just went away. I couldn't figure this out. You told me this would work. So I bought the thing, and I tried it, and guess what? It was a big, fat fail. I didn't even know what question to ask. I love it when Pastor Bill taught that principle. I don't know what question to ask to even get the right answer that I need. So after more investigation, see, I'm like a dog on bone. I keep going after it, right? So I went back to Best Buy, and I took my brand new device in there, and I took my little thingy dingy that I was plugging into the device, and you told me this would work. Here, show me. And I put it down on the table. Here's the little thingy dingy, and here's the device, and you show me how it works. They couldn't get it to work. Shocker. So I'm supposed to get it to work and you can't get it to work? You told me it would work. It's just a bit of an accountability. You see, I'm like that. I'm like that. If I see something's wrong, I love you, but I'm coming after you until we get this sorted. You know, I just want it sorted. I'm not trying to say you don't know what you're talking about it. I'm not trying to say you're ignorant. I'm the one that's ignorant here. I can't figure it out. I don't know how to do it. Well, guess what? They helped me, and they saved me $100. I just put that in my pocket and smiled as I walked out the door. They saved me $100, Alan. I gave it to Sri Lanka because they need it. I don't need it. I saved it. God saved that for me. So, but we don't see the spiritual things that are happening in our life. I don't want you to give that to Best Buy, Randy. I want you to give that to Sri Lanka. Well, we should give more. If you can give more, give more. If you can't give more, whatever you give is great. Giving is an opportunity for the church to reach out love. This is your love that you're extending to people who have a greater need. That is a thing in Paul's letters. Everything that, when he went to Macedonia, guess why he was going there? To make collections for the poor saints that are in Judea. You didn't forget that storyline, did you? How about when Paul and Barnabas came back from their mission trip, the end of chapter 15, and they sent them out. They sent them back with the letter in their pocket, and they said, this is the only thing we ask. Would you please remember the poor? And Paul said, this is the very thing I want to do. I want to help the poor. I want to help those who are suffering. This is the gospel. I was poor. I was blind. I couldn't see. But God helped me. And he's going to continue to help me open my eyes. He strengthened me. Back to this. I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord was more than abundant. Not just abundant, Donna. More than abundant. We're not changing the name of the church. More than Abundant Life Church. We're not doing that. I'm just saying. Abundant life is enough. It's a great word. A-L-C. ALC, not MALC, all right? More, but you got to see this phrasing and the words that he uses. It makes it an impact. Sister Donna saying, that's another thing I have to tell Dan about now. Another conversation. Can we change it? No, we're not. I'm just saying, get that in your spirit. More than abundant. More grace of God, more than abundant, with faith and love, which are found in Christ Jesus. It's a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. Paul's very bold about this, if you don't mind. that Jesus Christ came into the world, what should you be teaching them people, Timothy? What do they need to hear? Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I was foremost of all. Paul thought that of himself, and yet look at what he's accomplished. Even by now, in this writing this, he's already spent probably over 20 years on the mission field by the time he writes this letter to Timothy. Yet for this reason, I found mercy. Well, tell me, why did you find mercy, Paul? So that in me, as foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience. You know that guy you don't have patience with? That girl you don't have patience with? He's demonstrating. Okay, did you catch that, Alan? That one, he's demonstrating. You know, Alan started chirping like a little bird. He started chirping, and I'm thinking, he got something. God's demonstrating both to you and to them his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him, that's faith, for eternal life. That's what we're after, this eternal life with God, this relationship with God, this fellowship with God. I have eternal life. I'm steadfast in it, and I'm sure. And the churches are getting unsettled because there's men. Now, I'm not going to exclude the women, but there's men that are going out, traveling around to the various churches that Paul has already established, teaching something different. They're even writing letters and signing his name. This is what we found out through other books, you see. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. This is pretty straightforward, bold. The only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, finishing it up. This command I entrust to you, Timothy. You know when I'm serious, right, Timothy? You know, Timothy, I am so serious about this. You have to get a hold of this, Timothy. I command and entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. That's a thing. What were they? What were they, Cheryl? I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what people laid hands on him and prophesied over his life. I don't know what his gift and calling was. The most I know is he was a loyal, excellent servant with Paul in all the ministry. This is what I do know, right? Fight that by them. You better remember the prophetic word that's been spoken over to you. I have it on my desktop, a couple of prophetic words that are spoken over my life. They're audio words. I play them fairly frequently. I want to remember what God spoke over my life. And I've sent dozens of these out to people. I email them to people. Captured in the moment, and I send them to you. This is what we've done in the past. That by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which is his goal, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith. Don't reject these things. You'll shipwreck. We were just recently reading in Jude and in Peter. You know, there's reefs you have to be careful of. If you're going in with your ship, there's a reef, and if you hit it, it might destroy your ship. You'll be shipwrecked. You think everything's going good until it's not. Finishing up. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander. We'll talk more about these guys. Whom I have handed to Satan, and that they might be taught not to blaspheme. So he ends with these particular gentlemen, who he knows and calls out by name. And his resolution is, we can talk more about that, maybe we'll pick up here next week on this, that they should not be teaching the things that they're teaching. He lays down this blessed gospel in the first chapter of Timothy. These are the things you should be teaching. These are the things that will build up the church. Love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and unfeigned faith. those are the things that you should be teaching Timothy. Father, we thank you that we have that, that that's been a theme in this house, Lord, for 45 years. And we thank you for all these good words that have come from our pastor. And we thank you that he's instructed us in the right ways, and that these are the things we cleave to, and they stabilize our ship, O Lord God. And we will not hit a reef, and we will not go shipwreck, because you keep us, and your great mercy is towards us. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.